do not necessarily represent those of WHFR or Henry Ford Community College. Good afternoon. This is WHFR Dearborn. This program is called Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway. Today, my special guest is Shay. She just goes by one name, but her name is Shay, and she is an intuitive numerologist, life coach, and certified hypnotherapist. Good afternoon, Shay. How are you?
Hello, Mike. I'm doing great, thanks.
Well, good.
Appreciate being here to talk to you.
Oh, well, thanks for being on the show, and I'm glad somebody's feeling great. That's something to be happy about, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. I usually do.
Okay. So you usually feel great, do you?
I do, yep. Okay. I think so.
Well, that's a good attitude. Now, you're a numerologist, and how long have you been doing this type of work?
I have been studying intensely since 1996. I've been doing it professionally since 1997, and I've done hundreds and hundreds of readings all over the country.
Mm-hmm. So you do them in person as well as on the phone?
I do. I have a local clientele in Michigan, and I've done readings from California to New York and Canada to Mexico over the phone.
Wow. Now, is this a full-time job for you?
It isn't. It's my passion, and it could be, but I have other reasons that I do have another day job that I do, but this is really not what I do. It's who I am.
Mm-hmm. Yes, this is your passion.
Mm-hmm.
So what sparked your interest in numerology?
It actually was a huge and serious shift that happened in my own life back in 1996, and it was such a significant personal and emotional event that I really felt that the person that I was got lost, and the life that I had was destroyed. And honestly, I was seeking some way to find my identity, some place to start so that I could rebuild my life again. And I picked up a book on numerology, and I began to read about that, and not one single thing applied to me that was it's called my life path. Your life path number, it didn't apply to me, but it interestingly applied to everyone else. When I looked up the people that I loved and my friends, and I knew that I was very far out of alignment, that's when I started looking to the numbers to bring myself back home again.
Mm-hmm. So you realized that your life was not being lived the way it should be? Is that it?
Yes, that was very much a part of it. I felt like I had, however I defined I, had gotten lost somewhere along the way in the expectations of others and my own expectations. I just felt that I was not being true to myself, and I was looking for a way that I could do that. And so that's what the numbers did for me. They brought me back into alignment and actually built a very secure foundation for me that I could work with and then build my life on. And I knew if I could do it for myself, I could do it for others.
Mm-hmm. And do you feel you're much happier today?
Oh, my goodness. It really is night and day. And that's what happens with very many of the readings that I do, is that honestly, the people who love us the most, the people who brought us into the world and who guide us and teach us, are the very people who knock us out of alignment with our own intuitive framework, our personality. And it happens naturally. It happens in trying to protect us. It happens in trying to teach us family values and cultural values. After a while, we begin to lose what feels right for us so that we can fit in to what others are expecting of us. And children get lost pretty quickly. especially when you even when you start school and you're defined by other children, the process, your teachers.
Right. Every time you're socialized, it's a whole different ball game.
Exactly. And so then where are you in that process? And so that old saying, I need to go find myself, it becomes very real and very emotional when you really just don't know where you should start. And that's where the numbers can help. It's from your birth date and from the name on your birth certificate. Those two things, for me, are like a present, like a gift, that I can open and see what's there and take those treasures and give them back to that person and say, this is you. This is who you were on the day you were born. This is the truth of who you are. And miracles will happen when I can do that.
Mm-hmm. Now, you're an intuitive numerologist. Do you use psychic ability with numerology?
I don't know if I'd call it psychic. It sure is something that is beyond me, though. I can tell you that, Mike, because anyone can add numbers up, and it's a very simple additional mathematical problem to add up a birth date, and anyone can do that. But how do you interpret what you get, what that final digit is? How do you make sense of that, and how do you make that number work with the numbers that you get from your name? So what happens is that I get that information, and then I just hook in, and then the information starts to channel through, and along with that information for that person can come all kinds of insights, revelations, and other weird and wonderful things. And so it's like I become that channel, and I become the messenger to deliver what that person needs to know about themselves.
Mm-hmm. Do you ever surprise yourself with some of the things that you come up with?
I do. I do, because I know I didn't know that. And so from every reading, I call them, of course, every reading that I do, every session that I have, I hear things, I learn things. And it's not just a matter of getting it intellectually. I experience it emotionally, and I can feel the rise and the fall of the energy, and I know when the message has been delivered to that person because I feel fulfilled. It's a satisfying kind of experience. And if it has not been delivered, then I carry that lump inside of me like you just didn't do it, Shay. You didn't give them what they needed, and I'll keep going until the message is delivered. But it's a very real and physical experience, too.
Mm-hmm. And depending on the message, if it's a sad message or a very exciting message, do you feel the same way? Do you sometimes feel sad, or are you upset by some things that you might receive?
Well, the way that I look at it and the way that I see the numbers is that every single message is uplifting, and it's healing, and it's an opportunity in some way. And so I can have a person sitting across from me or 2,000 miles away crying on the phone, and I know that that's because it's touched that place inside of them that needed to be open. And what's been very interesting for me over the years is how people can handle criticism. I could tell them all kinds of things about themselves, that they're too this or they're not enough of that, and they can handle that. But when I start telling them what their gifts are, and their treasures, that's when they lose it. They can't handle it. And my readings are always healing and informative and uplifting and encouraging. That's the kind of energy that I work with.
Mm-hmm. So they're trying to reach the truth that they are, maybe by acknowledging what talents and what abilities they do have in life?
Exactly right. Exactly right. We are born with gifts and potential and talents. I call them our treasures. And it is our parents or our guardians, their responsibility to take those treasures from that child and say, look, this is you. This is what you were born with. These are your natural abilities. Now, here they are. Go and use them. They're assets for you. But we hear, I read the other day, we hear no 60,000 times by the time we start kindergarten. That's an awful lot of negative energy that's coming at them. And so what I do is I go back to that basic framework from their date of birth and their name, and I tell them what their treasures are. Mm-hmm. And some people just can't handle it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it touches them very deeply, correct?
Right, absolutely. And a lot of times they'll deny that and say, oh, that's not me. And I will tell them, look, these numbers don't lie. They always mean the same thing.
Right.
They always represent the same concepts. Why would you be different? And that's when I can tell them that I thought the same thing. My numbers didn't fit me either, but I have grown to claim them, own them, and I'm proud of the framework that I was born with. Mm-hmm. It wasn't an easy one. I have to say, not all charts are created equal. Some
right.
people really do have a rough time and a rough path to walk in this lifetime. And the nice thing about what I do is that I can explain and clarify and show them how this can work for them. It's quite fascinating to be able to go through that process.
Mm-hmm. Well, everybody has their life lessons to learn, whatever they may be, and you help them recognize them and help them through them?
I do. I see it as an experience. We're here to experience certain things. It's like what I tell them is that in their pure potential form, which is energy, of course, they decide that something in their soul may be missing. I may know what it is intellectually. I may know what it feels like to bear the burden for someone else intellectually, but I've never really experienced that in my heart. And so that soul incarnates, and it comes in to experience that so that it knows to the center of its being, and that is enlightenment.
Mm-hmm. I just briefly want to remind the listeners that this is WHFR.FM, the station making waves. This program is Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway. Today, my special guest is Shay, and she is an intuitive numerologist, life coach, and certified hypnotherapist. Now, Shay, what is the most important number in a person's life?
The most important number, I think, is the one that you get when you add up all the numbers in your birth date and you reduce to a single digit.
Mm-hmm.
And by reducing, I mean, you know, like this year, 2012, 2 plus 1 plus 2 reduces, it adds up to a 5. This is a 5 universal year for all of us. So it's as simple as that. Reduce down to a single digit, and that number will tell you so much about your life and why you attract to yourself the people and the situations that you do.
Mm-hmm. Will that give you an indication? This number will give you an indication of what you're supposed to do in life, either professionally
yes.
or on a personal level?
Absolutely. Yes, it does. It tells your highest potential, what your challenges may be. It explains why certain things will satisfy your soul and why other things are not appealing and not interesting to you. It gives a wealth of information just in that one number.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, Mike, everyone born on that day has that same, I call it that same path to walk or that same experience to fulfill. And so what makes each person unique is that I also look at the numbers from their name, and that makes them as unique as a snowflake.
Mm-hmm. Nobody's the same, correct?
Right, unless you're born on the same day and you are given exactly the same name. But even then, the other two components of what I do are environment. Who raised you? How were you raised? Were you raised in poverty? Were you raised in a certain culture? The other thing is free will. We have choices. And so what did you do with the opportunities that were presented to you or the speed bumps that you hit? So even then, people can be born with the same name, John Smith, and the same date of birth, and be two very different souls.
Right. Well, again, when you compare numbers of famous people, like you said, a lot of people have the same number, but some people are famous, some people are not. Now, what influences people to lead the lives that they do?
Well, so much of it is unconscious. I mean, most of the people in the world have no idea about numerology and what value that can be in lighting your way. So we kind of just fumble our way along, and most of us do it either trying to please other people, trying to reach some competitive standard, or we try to stretch for what we crave, what satisfies us. And mm-hmm. so that's why some people are drawn to accounting and some people are drawn to the arts. And I can find that in their life path because we do crave what we came here to learn.
Mm-hmm. So we can
only... people are not consciously aware of doing that.
Right. We can only stifle things for so long, and whatever it is has to manifest itself in some way.
It does, but I have seen people who are so, they're sick at heart. Say, for example, that you wanted to be a painter, but your dad owned a law firm and said, son, you're going to be a lawyer, you're going to take over the family business, and all you ever wanted to do was draw, you know, paint a mural. So then because you want to please your father, you go to law school, you do all of that, but it tortures you every step of the way. And we all know people who do that. They do things not for themselves, not what feels right for them, but what they should do or what they're, you know, what would please someone else. And those people really are sick in their heart and their souls and their energy because they're not following their intuition. And that's why on my website, you mentioned that, I say I bring people home. I give them permission through the numbers, through the framework they were born with, to be who they were born to be.
Mm-hmm. Now, when they add up the numbers of their birth date, not only is it the year, but it is the actual day and the month as well, and that's supposed to be boiled down to one specific number, correct?
Right. It's the day, month, and year that you were born. And what I do is break it up into three numbers. So say if you were born in December, you were born in a 3. You just add the 1 plus the 2. If you were born on December 12th, that's another 3. And then you add up the 4 numbers from the year that you were born. That gives you a third number. You add those 3 numbers together and then reduce down to 1.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a reason that we have to do that when I do someone's chart. Those 3 numbers from the month, day, and year that you're born are very significant in the path that you walk.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that people know they're supposed to be born on a certain day and that it's destiny to a certain extent?
Well, numerology is based on the idea of reincarnation, and no one knows why it works, but they do say that we do choose the day that we're born, and we choose not only our own names, but the people that will give us birth. We choose our parents or our guardians.
Right. Do you think that whoever, I guess, becomes our parents, so, you know, they come through us, do you think intuitively they know what it is you should be named?
Yes. Yes, and I can say that personally. Before I even knew anything, had never even heard of numerology, I had my second daughter, and I had the name picked out for her, and I can tell you within 2 minutes of the moment she was born, Carrie Elizabeth popped out of my mouth, and my husband said, "What?
Mm-hmm.
That's not the name we chose." And I said, "That's the name she's going to have."
Right.
And she does, and so I don't know. I just followed my intuition on that one, and that's the energy that she carries.
That's right. Once you decided, there is no going back, correct?
There's no going back.
Yeah. Well, what are some of the numbers? I mean, can you give us a thumbnail sketch of the different vibrations that each number has and what it might represent?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Each number has very basic energy, just like every person has their specific personality. The numbers have their own personalities as well, and they can shift from what we might call negative to positive. Actually, it's all just a learning experience. So, for example, the number one is always first. So if you are a number one life path, the number that you get from adding up your birthday, you are very independent and very creative. You want to be first in line. You want to be first to try something. The number ones can be very reckless because they want to charge ahead. They're good leaders, and they're very strong and willful. They're also, what we would call maybe the negative characteristics, very selfish and self-centered, It's all about them and what they want when they want it. The number one is a very young energy because it doesn't have a lot of life experience. It's the number of rebirth. And so number one, people can be very immature. So is that what you were talking about? Would you like just a definition of each of the numbers? I only go through the number nine because that's as far as numerology goes with single digits.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you want to continue, just give us, like I say, a thumbnail sketch of what the vibrations are of each number.
Absolutely. I'll go through them pretty quickly because one does build on the next.
Okay.
The number two brings in partnership. The number two is always searching for its other half. And it's very nurturing, very healing energy. It just wants us all to get along. It's very peacemaking sort of energy and diplomatic. And so it will always try to find some way to help. It's the power behind the throne. The number three is the number of blossoming. When you bring two together, you get a third energy. And the number three says, ta-da, here I am. It likes to entertain and amuse. It likes to communicate. Very important that it's that it express in some way. So a lot of number three people are singers, dancers, actors, or writers. That is, they like words, and they like word play, and they can be vicious in gossiping and criticizing because they know just where to go in and get you and how to use their words to make it hurt. So number three people can let the light shine, and they can take it away. And then we build to the number four, and the number four, excuse me, the numbers look like the energies they represent. So think of the number four as very boxy and solid and earthbound. It's a very practical energy. Number four people like to roll up their sleeves and get to work. They're very detail-oriented. So if you want someone who's going to come in and organize and straighten up your business or your home, hire a number four. They will take care of all of it. They can also be very stubborn and hard-headed and rigid, though. They don't like to move in new directions very quickly. They want to know why. They're very smart, but very down-to-earth, very big-hearted people. Then after the hard work of the four comes the number five, which wants freedom. It wants to play and travel. It doesn't want to have its life spent in a cubicle. So number five people like traveling and sales. They're very good at, a number five can sell you anything. They're very good at persuasion. And they also can, they kind of have a reputation as not being able to commit because they like to continue to taste and test and sample everything there is in life. So they love to meet new people and travel to new lands and experience new things. And they also have a tendency to go too far into excess. So the number fives have to be careful about too much of anything, too much food, too much drink, too much play. They have to watch out for where the boundaries are. So the number six that comes next, that brings you back home again. So if I first meet you and I say, hey, Mike, you know, where do you live? What do you do for a living? You married? You got any kids? All of those things come under the energy of the number six. It's very domestic. It's the mom energy. In metaphysical circles, it's known as the goddess energy, the empress, because the number six likes to make things grow. It's the great improver. And so six people will take in stray animals and stray people. They like to fix things and heal things. They're great nurses, doctors, teachers. So if you like to be mothered, you'll want to hang out with the number six. Now, the next number up, the seven, opposes that. The number seven says, let me step back. You can see the seven with its arms sticking out, saying, don't come any closer to me. These are the Mr. Spocks of the world. They like to know why. They're researchers and analyzers, and they look to the past to help define the present moment. Well, what have we done in the past? Let's build on that. Now, the interesting thing about the number seven is it's also very mystical. And so when they elevate from intellect to intuition, that's when they become the mystics and the wise sages of the world, and they can really elevate to a very high spiritual level. The reason that the number seven incarnates is to learn to live by faith, and that's very hard when you have a very intellectual mind like they do. So the higher the numbers get, the harder the path to walk. So then we go to the number eight. I call that the Donald Trump number. That is the number of business and being the visionary and pulling in your resources and moving and shaking, making money. Money and power are very important to number eight people. And so they have to watch out for being greedy and trying to accumulate too much. Elevate them to the higher spiritual level, and they are the manifestors of the universe. And they will say, the more I get, the more I can give to others. But if you get a greedy number eight and they say, the more I get, the more I have, they block the flow and they'll go bankrupt. And so the number eight can build vast fortunes, or it can be the guy panhandling on the street. So it depends on how they use that tremendous amount of energy they were born with. And finally, the number nine. The number nine is the number closest to heaven, and it is here to learn the meaning of unconditional love. And so these people going the opposite direction of that become fanatics. They are perfectionists. Nothing ever meets their standards. They're very hard people to please, because they're always looking for that perfection, that unconditional love. And ironically, they'll put conditions on everything. Because, I'll finish with this, the way that we know and truly learn what our numbers mean is by learning the opposite. We can't know light if we don't know dark. We can't know cold if we don't know hot. So these numbers will go to both extremes so that we can truly understand in the center of our being what our number represents.
Mm-hmm. Very briefly, I just want to take a little break here and remind everybody that you are listening to WHFR.FM, the station making waves. This program is Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway. Today, my special guest is Shay, and she is an intuitive numerologist, life coach, and certified hypnotherapist. Now, what about master numbers? Do you subscribe to that theory at all?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, and there are people who will change their names trying to get a master number in their chart, and mm-hmm. that is not recommended. Having a master number is being given, we could call it a divine mission. You could call it a curse. And the master numbers are 11. It's always written 11/2 because we reduce to the single digit. So when you add 1 plus 1, you get your 2. Mm-hmm. 11/2. 22/4, and 33/6. And I and most other numerologists that I've read will not go much higher, any higher than the 33/6, because it's absolutely untouchable. Right now, if we were to look at the 33/6, for example, that would be like me trying to get to the moon. I can see it. I can make my plans. But actually getting there is going to be tough.
Mm-hmm.
And so having the master numbers mean that you have that drive, you have that sense that there's some purpose or some higher meaning, but it's very challenging to actually master that number. And so most people with a master number in their chart will stay at the lower level. Mm-hmm. So you're going to get the 2, 4, 6,
right,
as opposed to the 11, 22, and 33. But those people with a master number, they can touch it for a minute, but they can't live there, or they would physically and emotionally fry in its energy.
Yes, disintegrate.
Those are fascinating all by themselves.
Mm-hmm. How about 44/8? I've also heard some numerologists use that as a master number.
Oh, yeah. Some of them will go all the way up to 99.
Okay.
As far as I'm concerned, the 44/8 is the number that puts the stars in the sky.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's there's not a human being in this dimension who can fulfill that that 44.8. It's hard enough for the master builder, the 22.4. I call the 22.4 the Mother Teresa number, because mm-hmm. Mother Teresa committed her entire life to her causes. She gave up her life for what she felt she was born to do, and that's what the 22.4 requires, is that mm-hmm. you give up your life to build something greater than yourself. And so if the 22 is Mother Teresa, imagine what the 44 would be.
Right. Well, I know that General Patton, George Patton, was a 44.8. Mm-hmm. Along with Wayne Gretzky, famous hockey player. Those gentlemen lived up to some great achievements. So, I mean, it can be done, but like you say, it's not always going to be constantly utilizing all the master number vibrations. Again, they have to live their life, and they might regress to the single digit. Is that correct?
Right, right. And in my mind, they headed toward their master number, and they got farther than most people.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as actually living at that level, I have a master number 33.6, mm-hmm. and that is the master teacher.
Right.
And it's terrifying in its power.
Mm-hmm.
It's like being touched by the hand of God. You pay attention when that master number kicks in. And so most people, you know, I can head in that direction. It's the Christ consciousness
mm-hmm.
number.
Yes.
I can head in that direction, but I don't collect disciples, and I certainly don't walk on water, and I don't ever expect to. So, I try.
Have you been practicing? Yes, right.
I do what I'm called to do, but there is a tremendously powerful mission that's handed to those people with those master numbers. And the thing is, you can have a master number anywhere in your chart, and it will impact you differently.
Mm-hmm. And there are those people that might have master numbers, but they never really reach that vibration. They're always using the single digit. If they're a 22.4, they don't realize the 22 vibration. It's always just living their life at number 4, and that's it.
Yeah, you're right. And even sadder than that, there are people who see their great potential, you know, and they say that we're more afraid of our success than we are our failure. There are people who know inside, there's something inside that resonates with them, and it's so terrifying that they will deny it.
Mm-hmm.
And, in fact, go the opposite direction. If, you know, they'll go hide as opposed to trying to master that energy. It's just too overwhelming.
Right. They want to hide because they don't think they can handle the, I don't know, very strong responsibility that vibration may hold.
Exactly. And the expectations of other people, because I've become very finely tuned to the numbers and the energy vibrations in people. And you can feel when someone has some charisma, we'll call it magic, and you just think, why aren't they doing more, because they could accomplish so much? Well, their destiny may be so overwhelming for them that it's terrifying to even try.
Mm-hmm. Would it be a situation where they're not even really aware of it?
Yes. Yeah, I mean, how many people know what their numbers are? Very, very few. There's just a sense of more, and especially the people with the very high spiritual vibration who follow that path, the metaphysical path. And so they know that there's this spirit that they have and this energy, but they just don't define it that way. That's one of the things that I love about the numbers, is that it just brings it right down to basics, right down to the truth of who you are. And I can tell someone they have a master number and see it resonate in them, and it's amazing when the light comes on and they recognize it, but most of the time they really don't want to go there.
Mm-hmm. They're afraid of it?
They're afraid of it. It's overwhelming. It would, and Mike, this is the thing, that would change their current life too much.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because they've created a life built on, as I said, other people's expectations, their own past history. And so for someone to give up the ego life that they have created and go back to the truth of who they are, that would be scary. It would be better, and it is better, but sometimes people are more comfortable with what they're familiar with as opposed to finding a better life.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, I think some people really are afraid of success, and with success comes more pressure sometimes, so they may deny themselves the opportunity to live at that higher vibration. Has that been something you have found?
I agree. Mm-hmm. I agree. Sometimes people just settle for where they're at, and, you know, it may be, it's one of those situations where it's not bad enough to go, but it's too bad to stay, and they just get stuck in that, and they don't want to find a way out. And I've helped a lot of people find their way. When it becomes uncomfortable enough, that's when my phone rings, mm-hmm. or the emails come, and they say, help me, because I can't live in this anymore. And then we go back to basics.
Mm-hmm. Right. So you just take them back, and you try to encourage them to reach that higher vibration?
Right. And I show them what their gifts are. We go back to their treasures, and I say, you are the number 5 life path, and you're trapped in a situation. Do you feel like you've been painted in a corner and you can't get out? And so many of them are, I mean, that's where the tears begin.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yes, I'm trapped in this relationship and I hate it, but I don't know how to get out. Well, then, that now you know what it feels like to be trapped. Let's let you find out what it feels like to be free.
Mm-hmm.
And, but they make the decisions. They have free will. They decide how they want to play that energy out. But what I do is I at least give them options. Through the numbers, I give them options. I say, now you have choices because now you know the truth of who you are and you can move forward.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, it's what you said earlier, the fact that people get used to where they're at. They're afraid of change. That would really upset their lives, perhaps. And sometimes that's the hard part, is realizing what they should do and actually making conscious decisions to follow that.
Absolutely right. And that's where the life coaching part of what I do comes in, because I have people who say, yes, yes, this resonates with me. This absolutely makes sense to me. This is what I've been waiting for all my life. Now what do I do?
Right.
I don't know how to live this because I've been told what to do all of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And now I don't know how to make decisions on my own. And something else, Mike, that I've found is that we're so disconnected from our own intuition, which of course will guide us accurately and truthfully and comfortably, but they don't know how to listen to their intuition because they were told when they were kids how to feel, what
mm-hmm.
to think.
Right.
You know, I'll give you something to cry about, that old saying. Well, then how do you learn to trust your own instincts if the person in authority is telling you that when you hurt, you shouldn't cry about that?
Mm-hmm. Well, Shay, I think it's something you also touched upon earlier, the fact that in their heart of hearts and their soul of souls, they know what they should be doing, but like you said, they don't know how to go about it. So in essence, at that point, you sometimes take them by the hand and help guide them through to the point where they should be?
I think that one of the most important things that the numbers do is they give us permission to be ourselves. And that's, again, what hits home and what really resonates with people is when I say, you are this energy. You know it. You can claim it. You own it. It resonates with you at a level that it feels so true. And so I give them permission to not only be themselves, but to be their best selves. And I can say, this is the number that you were born with, and this is what this number represents. Now let, you know, if you're going to be the number 8, be the best 8 you can be. And so the most important thing is that I validate where they are, and I give them permission to be who they are. And no one has ever taken their treasures. For the most of the time, they've never taken their treasures and then have them handed back and say, this is you. So that's what I do with just 4 numbers, 2 from your birth date and 2 from your name. That's all I need.
Mm-hmm. Once again, I just want to say that this is WHFR.FM, the station making waves. This show is Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway. Today, my special guest is Shay, and she is an intuitive numerologist, life coach, and certified hypnotherapist. Now, have you ever had a client just tell you up front, maybe they have the same reaction that you first had when you studied numerology, that this doesn't fit me, this is not right? They deny whatever it is you're telling them? Has that happened to you?
Yes, it absolutely does happen, and it's more frequent and that than you might realize, and it makes me sad. And then what I have to do is I have to point out certain things to them, such as, were you raised in a strict environment by any chance? Oh, yeah, my dad made us toe the line. Oh, okay, so you couldn't make your own decisions. Then you couldn't say, I'm hungry, I want to eat right now, or I want to go out and play. No, oh, my gosh, no. Well, I go back to their childhood, and I point out ways. You know, were you by chance a straight-A student? And, oh, yeah, if I didn't bring those grades home. That's when they begin to open up and they begin to see that someone else controlled and has continued to control their lives. And then that begins to break that shell a little bit. They begin to open. And if I can create just a little crack and open their minds a little bit, then the dominoes begin to fall. And they begin to see that, wait a minute, my life has not been my own. And in fact, what happens is that we will very often hook up in partnerships that perpetuate what we were taught as children. Mm-hmm. And that's when it's really very sad to me, is when people look back and realize that they've been controlled by rules, regulations, responsibilities, and other people's expectations all of their lives. Mm-hmm. But it's never too late, never too late to come back.
Right. Do people get angry at times when they realize that they've been guided to lead a life that really doesn't suit them?
Yes, they do. There are all kinds of emotions that come up, and a lot of resentment will come up, and some people will put it on others. They did this to me.
Right.
And some people will put it on themselves. I allowed this to happen. Mm-hmm. And we got to work with that. And I have to do my own disclaimer here. I am not a psychologist. I am not a doctor. I am not a therapist. And I tell them, if I see that they need professional counseling to get through this, I will tell them, you need someone to help you work with this. But if it's a situation where it's just a matter of pointing some things out and letting them take it from there, and we both know they can handle it, it's an aha moment, that's very different from, oh my gosh, my world just crumbled around me. Mm-hmm. And that has happened, and in fact it was one of the things that happened to me, which is why I can sympathize so much with someone who has been knocked out of alignment. I had a very strict childhood, and I was told what to do and what to think and all of that, and I had to overcome that.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, it gets back to the lessons that a person is supposed to learn this lifetime. And I guess, would you call it fate that you had to reach the point and go through the things you did to reach the point where you studied numerology and realized that this was the path for you?
Yeah, I believe that my 33-6 master number kicked in there, because I really don't think I would have had the guts, the gumption, or the intelligence to have reclaimed my life the way I did. I really literally almost did not survive the experience. And it was like something got a hold of me and said, this is the way you're going now, girl. And I've had so many experiences personally in my life, from murder to suicide, all kinds of experiences I will not go into. Mm-hmm. But nothing surprises me. And no one can bring anything to my table that will shock me. And I think that's what makes me right now better at what I do, is that I can validate, I can sympathize and understand. But I really believe there was divine guidance going on when I went through my situation.
Mm-hmm. Well, without going into details, of course, but when you do allude to these situations that murder was involved, is this on your client's part, or is this actually your own life story?
My own life story. I actually killed someone in an accident that was not my fault, but you still live with that. I have a relative who was murdered. They don't know who or why. Mm-hmm. My grandfather committed suicide. I can go through alcoholism. I mean, I seem to have been one of those people that had to experience everything. Mm-hmm. And so when someone comes to me and says, this has happened to me or that's happened to me, I can look them in the eye and I can say, I know how you feel.
Right.
And we can help you with that. Mm-hmm. And again, I'm not a therapist, and I don't pretend to be. And so I just know from my own experience that you can go through hellacious events in your life. And I came back to the numbers, and that is, to me, still my foundation and my rock. Whenever I feel like I'm out of balance, I come back to what my numbers are, and they give me such a sense of coming home.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another reason that I do what I do, and that because I know there are people who are lost, just like I was.
Mm-hmm. But now you're found.
I like to think that the numbers shine the light, and I use them as flashlights, saying, come on back. Let's mm-hmm. go back to the truth of who you are. This will give you a starting point that will feel right for you.
Mm-hmm. But now you think you can say that you have found yourself?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I have, as a matter of fact, rebuilt my life from that point in 96. And I have a very happy, productive, satisfying life and a clientele and a wonderful man that I'm married to. And in fact, I have to tell you that my daughters were 12 and 16 when I went through my major event in 96. And I really feel like I was introduced to them for the first time when I started looking at numerology. And I also use Chinese astrology, which we haven't mentioned, but that's a huge part of what I do. And I really feel like I got to know my daughters. Mm-hmm. When I came into possession of these tools and began to understand them, and my daughters are grown and very professionals and very balanced and successful, so I've seen it happen in my own life.
Mm-hmm. Right, you can speak from experience.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's very important. Now, how do you use hypnotherapy in your practice? What do you use that with and on? Do you talk to patients and see if they're willing to perhaps explore that, or do you suggest it? How does that work?
Well, the hypnotherapy is just another tool. It's another way for people to find themselves and to create a better life for themselves. So the people who come to me for hypnosis have generally had a numerology reading. They've already talked to me about that. They have a good understanding of what their numbers are. Many people want past life information to help them make sense of what's going on. There are just many ways that the hypnotherapy can help to balance out where the person's at. So that's kind of like a different skill set that mm-hmm. I use. I don't normally combine the numbers and the hypnotherapy, although on my website there is a hypno numbers meditation that you can get. So I guess I do combine them.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've heard that through hypnotherapy and past life regression, sometimes that cuts through so many of the problems and much quicker than typical therapy would take to reach the same conclusions or the same point in a person's life. Do you find that to be true?
I do, because what happens is that insights rise to the surface. The hypnosis helps the person to, in a sense, get out of their own way. Mm-hmm. And they very often answer their own questions or get this revelation, this aha that says, oh, now I know why. And then we can come back to the numbers and say, do you understand now why this person is in your life? Numerology gives each one of us permission to be who we are. And so when they understand that their partner isn't here just to aggravate them, they're here to walk their journeys mm-hmm. and help each other, then they do the hypnosis, then it just seems to clarify things a little bit more. And so I find them to both be very valid tools for healing.
Mm-hmm. Have you worked with your daughters with numerology at all? And that maybe
my daughters have been raised with this, and they use numerology every day.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, my youngest is a Montessori preschool teacher, and she uses it to help her understand her little ones and what their needs are. And she'll tell me, oh, Mom, I know what day this was. It was a 3-day because my kids were bouncing off the walls today, and the number 3 is all about activity. Mm-hmm. They automatically use the numbers every day just like I do.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a major force in their lives, and they just do it automatically because the numbers are such a – it's like having a watch on so you know what
right.
time it is. The numbers
right.
tell you where you are and why things are happening the way they are. That's something we didn't touch on, but numerology is a great forecasting tool
mm-hmm.
for telling where you're at this month, next year.
Right. Well, I think you said it earlier in that the numbers don't lie, correct?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
They're pure and perfect.
Mm-hmm. So you can, I guess, determine what is going to be going on in your life on a day-to-day basis, week-to-week, month-to-month, however you want to break it down, you could make the numbers fit and tell you what's going on in your life?
Right. You can use them as, I like to think of them as lights that are shining on the path, but you still have to walk that path. So as much as I know about the numbers, as much as I've worked with them, they still surprise me with how it actually plays out, the actual events. So you can't use numbers as an excuse for bad behavior. Well, I'm just a number 5, so I can be irresponsible. No, that's not how it works. You still have to go through that experience, and you still have to be responsible for how you fulfill your life path.
Mm-hmm. Again, it gets down to free will to a certain extent.
Right. And I know people who are number 6s, and we were talking about the responsibility of that. They're very irresponsible people.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're playing out the opposite side of the numbers, but they're still learning what that number 6 represents.
Right. Well, like you said, there are positive vibrations and negative vibrations to every number.
Right. Right. They're just two sides of the same coin, sort
mm-hmm.
of. And the numbers, as I said, are always pure, but we're the ones who define them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I was saying at the very beginning. You can have a number, but how do you interpret what that number means? And how does it work with your other numbers? And how do you choose to work with that energy of that number?
Mm-hmm. Now, in reading some of the testimonials on your website, some of the people have said that you have a style that is very straightforward and you tell it like it is. Is that how you try to treat each client?
That just seems to be my natural delivery. I was told a couple days ago I'd make a lousy poker player. When I'm channeling, I have to deliver the message, and so I do give it to them straight. I don't sugarcoat, but neither do I try to bring them down or criticize in any way. Like I said, it's always uplifting. It's always positive. But, you know, that movie, you can't handle the truth. Sometimes
mm-hmm.
the truth can rip those rose-colored glasses off, and that can happen in a reading.
Mm-hmm. Do you try to sugarcoat it at all?
Only if I see that the person is very fragile
mm-hmm.
and they're very delicate, I will ease up how I say it. But I don't think that it serves anyone for them to come to me and sit down and have me be syrupy and sweet and this will happen and that will happen, sweetie. I will tell them, if you continue on the way you are going, you are evolving. You know, that darker side of that number, we want to bring you around to your highest potential. So how can we change this? So there are different ways that I deliver the message. And so when you do talk to me about it, you get it straight up.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you see something that you feel is possibly a tragic situation, will you tell that person that, or do you try to get around it somehow?
No, I absolutely do. And I'll tell you quickly, there is a client of mine who's very dear to me now, and she's in a tough year. She's in a 7 personal year, which means that she has to watch her health. And I told her that. I said, if you keep pushing, you're going to create a problem for yourself. And this is a very spiritual energy, which wants you to slow down and be introspective. Well, she didn't slow down, and she She had a slip and fall. So she came back to me. I said, you've got to slow down. Long story short, she ended up having a slight stroke in July. And she called me and said, I know what you were talking about now. I've slowed down. I've stopped. I said, I would hope so. So, yes, I will tell people this can be a challenging year. It goes against your natural forceful energy. And if you don't slow down, you're not honoring what this year can create for you and bring to you. So that's just one situation where I will tell them,
mm-hmm.
you've got to stop.
Right. Well, have
next
you...
year you can go. This year you got to stop.
Right. Well, have you ever seen a situation where it might indicate death to that person or anything like that? Will you say that to anybody or not?
We like to say transformation.
Ease it a little bit.
That
right.
There are some things you have to bless and release because mm-hmm. they have their path to walk too. And as much as you may be invested in another person's life or a job or a relationship, there comes a point where it has fulfilled its purpose. And we bless it, we release it, and we gratefully move on. And that's how I approach it, is that there's a natural ending. The number 9, for example, can very often represent endings and completions, and sometimes that's a death.
Mm-hmm. Right. Very quickly, how would somebody get in touch with you if they wanted to do so?
Well, I'm very easy to contact through my website, numbersbyshay.com, and Shay is spelled S-H-E-Y. There are many ways you can spell it, but numbersbyshay.com. You can email me. You can book a reading. I'm also on Facebook, Numbers by Shay, and I am also on Blog Talk Radio on Thursday nights at 8:30. I'll be starting that up pretty soon. So that, again, is Numbers by Shay. So as long as you get my spelling of my name right, you can find me.
Right. You should be good to go. Just out of curiosity, is it possible for a person to skip around on the numbers? I mean, one incarnation might be a number 3, the next might be a number 6, anything like that, or does it follow a natural progression?
You know, people have asked me that before. So if I have a 6 life path this year, am I going to have, or this lifetime, am I going to have a 7 next time? The way that I have seen the numbers, Mike, is that they always follow one after the other because they build. Number 2 incorporates the 1, 3 incorporates the lessons of the 2 and the 1. I think, personally, they stay in order.
Mm-hmm. So in order for a person to learn their life lessons each lifetime, it helps to take that progressive number vibration throughout the next lifetime so they can improve and learn the lessons they need to. Is that correct?
That would be my belief. The only thing would be maybe if you didn't learn what you needed to learn from the 7, you might have to go back and repeat it, like repeating a grade in school.
Oh, yeah.
You might have to go back and spend that lifetime uh-huh. again until you get the message.
Until you get it right, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Well, I guess that could be a possibility. So once you get to the 9, the next life, you start all over again the cycle and you would be a 1?
Well, they say that the number 9 is the last incarnation. If you have a 9 life path, you're here to cross the T's, dot the I's, and get your diploma. And maybe we move to a higher dimension. There are many planes of existence,
right.
very many dimensions, and maybe we graduate and we get to move into some other form of energy.
Mm-hmm. Well, I personally am a 36-9, so I don't know. Maybe this could be it for me, huh?
That very well could be, and that would explain why you have metaphysically speaking and why you're interested in this, because it is very much tuned in its highest form. It's very much tuned in to the metaphysical and the higher wisdom.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, too, aren't the numbers broken down? I guess 1, 2, 3 is called the 1, 4, 5, 6 are the many, and 7, 8, 9 are the all.
I have never heard that.
Oh, really? Well, that's
some
of the things that I've read about it. And, you know, they kind of just break it down into classifications in that, you know, each number group, you know, is trying to spread their knowledge and whatever life lessons they learn to others. And as they progress, they share more and more lessons with other people.
That certainly makes sense. It's like being in the higher grades. Now, mm-hmm. the number 1's just getting started and wants to learn about itself.
Right.
But when you get to by the time you get to the number 9, it's the most humanitarian of all of the numbers, the most universal. So it wants to teach the ideal.
Right. Well, thank you very much, Shay, for being on Metaphysically Speaking. I do appreciate it. It was a great interview. Thank you very much.
Well, I appreciate the time, too. It was a pleasure.
Once again, I would like to thank my guest for this edition of Metaphysically Speaking, Shay. She is an intuitive numerologist, life coach, and certified hypnotherapist. I thought it was a rather interesting interview, just due to the fact that you can always learn something along the way, it seems. I also want to thank Brandon McKay for producing this edition of Metaphysically Speaking. And be sure to come back next month on Tuesday, October 16th, for another edition of Metaphysically Speaking. Thank you very much for listening. Have a great day, everybody.
It takes 12 years to create a graduate. It takes about the same time to create a dropout. And at the end of the day, the difference between a child becoming one or the other could be you. So United Way is asking you to make a pledge. Tutor a child who needs help. Mentor a kid who needs someone on their side. Volunteer to read to children. Because when a child advances, we all advance. Be a reader, tutor, or mentor. Give. Advocate. Volunteer. Live United. Take the pledge now at liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Good afternoon. This is WHFR Dearborn. You're listening to a new show here on WHFR. It's called the Rockabilly Rodeo Show. Yeah, that's right. It's all about rockabilly. I'm your host, Mike Holloway. And I'll be featuring, of course, rockabilly music for the next 2 hours. I'll be on, at least in the foreseeable future, from 2 to 4 p.m. with rockabilly music. I'm going to get the show started today with Little Rachel and the Hogs of Rhythm. The first song we'll hear is Mama Was Right Again.